Time with singing stars Robert Simmons and Peggy Allen.
Sweetheart, sweetheart, sweetheart.
Back in the middle 80s, Manhattan Island was a place of peace and pleasant living. Take Colonel Van Sant's place on Washington Square, for instance. Or better still, come there with me now to find the romantic story of the rich colonel's daughter and an apprentice in the Cooper shop owned by the colonel. It's mid-morning, and we find the Coopers busy in the shop that stands to one side of the colonel's garden. They're happy because it's his daughter Ottilie's birthday.
Come, boys, it's noon, we can stop now. Come, boys, it is time for a rest.
Good morning. Happy birthday.
That's young Dick Wayne, the apprentice.
Dick.
Happy birthday, Miss Ottilie.
Miss Ottilie? Oh, la, what a long tail the cat's got. Since when, miss?
My father says you're a young lady now and must be treated with proper deference. You're 16 now, you know.
Dick Wayne, you're not going back on your promise to marry me, are you?
I'm afraid that was only a childish dream.
What about our plans to defy the stern parents and live in our little cottage way out in the country?
With the curtains drawn.
And the kettle boiling.
And the cat purring on the hearth.
Just you and me. On the same chair, in our little house in the land of dreams.
There's a home in the land, the fair land of my dreams, that's waiting for you and me.
And love to that haven will show us the way and give us the golden key.
We'll enter therein and shall know all the joy
in the kingdom of heart's desire.
Our little house, our little home, you and I alone, dear. Heart to heart, no matter what, never more to roam, dear.
You like kissing me anymore?
Yes, but your Aunt Mathilde came to the door and saw us.
Oh, poor Aunt Mathilde. Her grandfather's just died and left her such a lot of money.
And you call her poor. Here comes your cousin Matthew.
Well, well, well. Garden of roses in May. Happy birthday, Ottilie.
You lazy boy, Matthew. Are you just up?
Why, you wouldn't have me rise before this, would you? As it is, I've scarcely had 5 hours in bed. Now, do me a favor, little cousin. Run in and make my peace with the colonel. He has some absurd idea that I came in late last night.
And what happened at the pleasure gardens at Hoboken?
Almost anything is likely to happen at Hoboken.
Oh, listen to the wind. Oh, there's going to be a storm. It'll spoil my party.
It's only a gust. And gals, just be thankful that you're in a secluded spot. Suppose you were taking a walk on the Battery.
The Battery's a charming place to take a little walk. When bells and bows are gathering for exercise and talk, we idle on the bowly green the sunny hours away. But all the bucks, they like it best upon a windy day. battery, and there's a lot to see. So it's whoops, my dear, pray have no fear, come take a walk with me. The bulls with large spyglasses stand and look their eyes away. What is it they see on the battery on a windy day?
What is it they see on the battery
on a windy day?
Look, the wind stripped the colonel's writing desk as clean as a whistle. And here come his papers all over the garden.
Catch him, catch him. Most important papers.
Oh, that's good one. Here's one.
There. Now we've got them all. Oh, now don't be cross on my birthday, Father.
Let me see. You didn't see anything of a blue one, did you?
No, sir. Doesn't seem to be here.
It was about so long and so wide and a curious shade of blue.
Was it important?
Not particularly. Just an acknowledgement by old Wayne of a little money I advanced him. The paper was a deed to his place uptown. A trifle. He'll give me another anyway. And now then, Matthew, a word with you before your usual pursuit of the ladies.
I had an awful premonition that something disagreeable was going to happen this morning.
I don't mean to seem inhospitable, but my dear nephew, when you came here to pay me a short visit, I scarcely expected you to stay 4 years.
I wanted to give you time to get used to me. Uncle, it's been a pleasure. I've enjoyed every day of it.
Most gratifying.
I knew you'd be pleased.
I absolutely refuse to provide for you further. I have determined that my daughter shall marry my favorite nephew, Claude. And you? You know that my sister-in-law, Mathilde, has become a very rich woman on the death of her grandfather.
Oh, you mean to marry her. Uncle, I wish you every happiness. And am I to live with you?
You are to marry her. Either you promise to marry Mathilde the moment she comes into her inheritance, or you leave this house forever.
Oh, look. Here come the gypsies for my birthday party.
Why, the gypsies? How wonderful. I'm looking forward to them.
And what shall the Romany folk do to entertain the gentry? A song? A dance? Tell fortune?
Oh, a song, please.
As you like. Come, gypsies. Sing.
Hear the woodland call, hear the silver streams that murmur low.
Oh, you hear the trees whispering in the breeze, calling you, rolling you.
Come on, 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 come on,
the future of your aunt.
Come, Dick, you do it first. You're not afraid, are you?
Not I.
I see a brave heart and a light heart, and a long struggle from humble beginnings. I see a great success and an honored name. I see gold, gold, a cataract of gold. I see a fair young bride with black hair.
But my hair's brown.
With black eyes and ebon hair.
Ebon hair? Black eyes? Oh, Gypsy, you're making a mistake.
A Romany makes no mistake, miss. Why? There sits the maiden in the flesh.
I? To be Dick's bride? I? Alice? Oh, how ridiculous.
Let me see your hand, Miss Alice. Yes. Yes, there it is beyond all question.
Here, see what's in my hand.
I see that the hand is given, but not the art.
You're wrong, I tell you.
Well, if you won't believe me, I must go to those who do.
Thank goodness they're all gone. I was afraid your cousin Matthew intended to hang around.
Poor Matthew. Aunt Mathilde caught him as he was about to follow the girls. I'm afraid she's about to get coy.
Utterly, here's your birthday gift.
A tiny apple tree. Oh, dear.
And that apple tree was to play a big part in the lives of Otterly and Dick. They planted that tree in the Colonel's garden. Under it, they put a little jewel box. And in that jewel box, they put a piece of blue paper they found in the garden. And on that piece of paper, they wrote these words.
Our love is so sweet in the springtime, when blossoms are fragrant in May.
No years that are coming can bring time to make me forget, dear, this day.
I love you in life's gray December,
the same as I love you today. My heart ever young will remain. Thrill it knew
that day in May. Sweetheart, 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 will you love me ever?
Will you remember the day?
That idyllic scene, a scene of two lovers in a garden with an apple tree, came a snake in the grass.
What's this? How dare you?
That's Claude. That's the snake in the grass. That's the favorite nephew chosen by the Colonel to be Otterly's husband.
How dare you? Why, you...
What business is it of yours?
My advanced bride in the arms of a low apprentice?
I'm nothing of the kind. I'll never marry you. I love Dick.
Nonsense. Here's your father. Let's see what he has to say.
What's this? What's all this?
This fellow, this dependent. She was in his arms.
Yes, she was in my arms. Well, I intend to keep her.
I love him, Father. I'll never give him up.
Nonsense.
It isn't nonsense, sir. She belongs to me.
How dare you take that tone with me? You're discharged. Take your things and leave here at once.
I'll go. But I'll come back. I'll come back as your equal, Otterly. Or I'll not return at all.
Dick, you'll come back.
Yes.
I'll be waiting. I'll remember.
Will you remember?
unfolds on Act One of Maytime. Fifteen years have passed, and as the colonel planned it, Utterly is wife to that snake in the grass, Claude, and what an unsavory scoundrel he's turned out to be. We find him now at Delphine's. Delphine, by the way, is a lady who knows her way about. She runs a very swagger gambling house and dancing salon.
Hello, Delphine. How about a gamble? Any chance of a big play?
I'm hoping to get Wayne here, just back from South Africa.
Wayne? Which Wayne?
Richard Wayne, the young millionaire.
You're not going to allow that fellow here. Why, he was my uncle's apprentice boy.
My dear Claude, I don't look very keenly into the antecedents of my rich clients.
The fellow was madly in love with my wife once. He'd oblige me by showing him the door. Perhaps you don't know that his agents have been fighting me in the courts for years.
Fighting you?
Yes, the fellow was no honor. Just because a document of my late uncle's was lost or mislaid, this fellow chooses to deny its having existed. And that property at 59th Street is growing valuable now.
You claim it is yours?
I claim it's my wife's. It's the same thing.
Oh, by the way, your cousin Matthew comes here tonight with his new wife.
Matthew married again? I'll bet she's rich.
She is, and dumb. But come, while you're having that drink, I want you to come over and see a new dance that's just come over from France. A polka.
A polka?
Yes. We call it the Jump Jim Crow.
It's a dance that's rather shocking to a spinster or a frump, for it's apt to show your stocking when you make the little jump. They tell me that Victoria, who's very strict, you know, bars everybody from the court who jumps Jim Crow.
Jump, jump, oh jump Jim Crow. Take a little twirl and around you'll go. Slide, slide, and point your toe. You're as naughty as a devil when you jump Jim Crow.
Jump, jump, oh jump Jim Crow. Take a little twirl and around you go. Slide, slide, and point your toe. You're as naughty as a devil when you jump Jim Crow.
Utterly, do you think we should have come here alone?
Why not, Alice? It's a harmless expedition. It sounds gay in there. Let's go in.
No, no. I don't like this place.
Well, I'm going in. You can stay here, scary cat.
Excuse me. You know where I can find Madame Delphine? Doesn't seem to be a...
Richard!
Why, it's Alice Tremaine.
Richard, you've come back after all these years.
I came back this morning. But I got what I went for, and I'm back to enjoy it. Alice, where is she? I went to Washington Square House. It was closed.
The colonel died 12 years ago.
But where is...
Utterly was forced. Perhaps I shouldn't say forced, but... Father was very ill. He wanted it. So she married Claude Van Zandt.
I should have known. 15 years. But Claude... Claude Van Zandt...
Utterly is here now, and... I should imagine her husband is here also.
Well, perhaps I'd better...
Alice, come on in. It's exciting. It's fascinating. Matthew's here. Look, oh, I beg your pardon. Dick.
Utterly.
Well, I'm Dash, the South African millionaire. How rich are... I mean, how do you do? Come on in, Alice. I want you to meet my new wife.
Why did you stay away so long?
Why did you not wait?
Oh, what's the use of discussing it now? It's all over. I'm an old, sensible, married woman now.
Are you happy?
Oh, all the world knows what cause for happiness I have. And, Dick, my bitterest regret is that Claude should ever have entered that lawsuit for your little place at 59th Street.
I regret it, too. I know if your father had ever had any claim on that land, my father would have told me.
I know that. I go out there often.
You do?
The little place has changed. The city's crowding around that paradise of our childish dreams.
Paradise, a land so far away, a land of endless day. Paradise, oh dear, I've lost the way, so far I've gone astray.
No land took last in mine, no land is far.
Thunderation, what are you doing here? Oh, Richard Wayne, I see. Zounds, madam, have you come here to spy on me with your old lover?
How dare you, sir?
How dare I? You all see how I dare.
Gentlemen, I beg of you. What is this?
I find my wife here with this man. I told you not to let him in.
Claude, be silent.
I won't. I found them here together and she in tears. I'll drag her through the mud for this.
I say, what nonsense. This sort of thing can't happen in the Van Zandt family.
Can't it? You'll see.
You'll see, my dear cousin, that you're sadly mistaken. You say that you found your wife here with Wayne and in tears. Well, I happen to know that they were tears of happiness for her friend, Miss Tremaine. You'll forgive me, Wayne, for thus making your little romance public, but I think we owe it to Adderley.
Go on, Matthew.
Our very good friend, Richard Wayne, has come back to America with the avowed purpose of asking Miss Tremaine to be his wife.
Nah, I'll believe that when I hear him ask her.
Am I right, Wayne?
Richard.
Fifty years pass. The Washington Square house becomes the dressmaker's establishment of a lady who calls herself Mlle. Brown. It's Ottilie's granddaughter. The apple tree still stands, but it's dead. It stands gnarled and bare. Into the establishment comes Cousin Matthew. He's gnarled, but not dead. For in the dressmaking establishment, he meets Ermentrude, a chorus girl. Proposes to her to become his fourth wife.
Good gracious. Look at this bevy of beauty approaching. And young Dick, old Wayne's grandson.
Hello, Mr. Van Zandt.
My dear boy, I'm a very busy man, but someday when I have time, I'll give you a few lessons in the way to win a woman. Now get rid of your bevy of beauty and go to work seriously.
Go away, girls, go away. There's only one girl for me.
We are pretty girls. We are
pretty
girls, we are just
the
kind of
girls
that all
of us
should be.
Go away, girls, go away.
You are supposed to be and want your money be.
Somehow I have found I cannot buzz around you, for there's only one girl for me.
Well, my boy, I'm off too. And here comes your Mademoiselle Brown. Good hunting, my dear fellow.
Good hunting.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Don't go. I've got to see you.
My name is Mlle. Brown.
To the rest of the world, maybe, but not to me.
Mr. Wayne, I suppose this is some peculiar form of mania you have, buying clothes for people.
There's only one girl I really want to buy gowns for.
Oh, don't be absurd.
Oh, I say, look, you're not having our apple tree dug up.
Our apple tree?
It belongs to both by inheritance. You know how much I think of it. How can you?
It's quite dead.
Look here. You could cut off the dead limbs and put a vine over the stump.
That's not a bad idea.
You know, I told you we could live here after we're married if you want to.
Please don't.
Why, it's just as though I'd lived it myself. That old story. A little apple tree. I feel that we planted it and sang that old apple song together over it.
Sweetheart, sweetheart, sweetheart. Oh, what's this?
Stop!
What?
Not you. You workmen, stop. Stop, let the tree stand. I've changed my mind.
Ottilie.
Oh, too late. It's down.
Ottilie, you mean...
I don't mean anything. Goodbye, Mr. Wayne.
Ottilie, wait. One moment.
Excuse me, miss. I heard you yell, but it was too late. But I found this. I reckon this is your property.
What is it?
Found it under that there tree, all tangled in the roots like.
Oh, it's a jewel casket.
Now, let me see it. I have a feeling that... You see this key? Came down to me from my grandfather. I've always kept it with me. Let's try it.
It opens it.
It does.
There's a paper in it. Dick... It's the old song.
Show me. There's something written on the other side. Why, Ottilie, this ends the old lawsuit between our families forever. This is a deed from my great-grandfather to yours for the property on 59th Street.
Oh, Dick, I can keep the old home. And perhaps...
Perhaps their children's children will sit around the old apple tree
just as they dreamed after all. Time you heard Moira Farrow, Norma Shem, Clifford Cowley, Robert Bernard, Lloyd Lamble. Dick and Otterly were played by Keith Eden and Elizabeth Wing. Your singing stars, Robert Simmons and Peggy Allen. Orchestra and chorus conducted by Verdon Williams. Narration by Morris Kellogg. Maytime was produced by Alfred Potter and directed by Cedric Zahara.
Sweetheart!